They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. We'll seek other seas. Please be seated. Good morning. This is sort of the second Sunday after Easter, as Jeff mentioned, is typically what we call in the church low Sunday. But it turns out not so low. This is a nice congregation here this morning. It's great to see all of you. It is true, though, and again, as Jeff has been reminding us, that there is something of a letdown, it seems, after Easter. All the buildup of the 40 days of Lent, and then we get to the great day of Easter, and then there is this sort of exhale of ah, and then back to normalcy, it seems, or the ordinary. And actually, our gospel this morning gives us that picture of the disciples going back to life before they had encountered Jesus, and then meeting him again on the other side, so to speak. And of course, we see this around us anyway. Yesterday, I was at CVS, and if you're interested, the chocolate Easter bunnies are now 90% off. So if you want to stock up, if they stay fresh for a whole year, I don't know if they do. I thought, well, why don't you just give them away if they're 90% off? But so, you know, it really raises for us, I think, the question of how do we live the resurrection all the time, every day, not just on Easter Day, not just then, but all of the time. And this exchange that we see between Peter and Jesus, I think, gives us some insight into both the challenge and the opportunity to do just that, to live in the power of the resurrection, not just on Easter Day, but in the midst of the ordinary comings and goings of our lives. We see this famous exchange, Jesus asking Peter three times. Each time you sense with more urgency, both on the part of Jesus and on the part of Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. No, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. I do. Of course I do. Well, what Jesus is getting at and what I think the message is for each of us is that, yes, we say that we believe in the power of the resurrection. We say that we seek to follow Jesus, to love as he loves, to be in the world as the body of Christ. And yet it's not always that simple, is it? It's not always that easy. The celebration and glow of Easter, of Easter Day, the lilies, yes, they're gone. The lilies are gone. We still have the beautiful azaleas. But things do go back to normal. Things do go back to the way they were. There's a great little story of a cardinal mug, a coffee mug, with an image of a cardinal, the bird, sitting in a china cabinet of a family, and it's a little chipped. And the story behind a chipped cardinal coffee mug goes like this. There was once a young boy, about 10, and I don't know about you, but you remember how schools have fundraisers. And you go out and you go door to door and you sell something to raise money for the school. And this little boy had done that. And by golly, he had sold the most of whatever it is that they had sold. And his prize were 6 brand new, beautiful coffee mugs with cardinals on it. And at the end of that school day, he was so excited because he had decided that what he wanted to do was to give those 6 mugs to his mother, who was picking him up that day from school. And so in his excitement, he comes bounding down out of school and he's running toward the car with the box with the 6 mugs in them toward his mother. And he sees his mother and he grows more and more excited as he starts to approach and he trips on something, and the box falls. And all the mugs, 5 of the mugs, crumble, crash on the ground. 1 mug survives with a little chip in it. So, of course, he's upset. He cries, but his mother says, "It's okay, honey. Here, we've got the 1 mug. We'll keep this 1 mug." They pick the others up. They throw them away. She keeps this precious mug of her son. Years later, the son is proposed, is ready to marry his bride, and the mother wraps the mug and gives it to the son's bride-to-be. She opens it. She looks at it. She says, "What is this mug with a cardinal on it? It has a little chip on it." And the mother-in-law tells the story to her future daughter-in-law of what her son had done, and she gives her the mug. And says, "I want you to keep this, and I want you to remember this. My son is not perfect. He's not a perfect person, but I want you to love him. Just like this mug isn't perfect, I want you to love my son. Love him in his imperfections." resurrection faces us in that experience of our own imperfection. That's why Jesus three times challenges Peter. In other words, here we are, the third Sunday of Easter, and whatever was happening in our lives on Easter Day and before Easter likely is continuing to happen. All of the good things, all of the wonderful blessings and gifts, but all of the challenges and all of the obstacles and all of the illnesses and all of the other things that are a part of our human life continue to go on. And so we have to ask the question, what difference does the resurrection make? Because we know it does. And here's the difference that the resurrection makes. It's the promise. It's the hope that whatever disappointments, whatever anxieties or fears, whatever imperfections, which is just the reality of human life we are going through, that God is with us. That God is, as we sang at the beginning this morning, God is always with us. That's what the resurrection means, that this person, Jesus Christ, who was in human flesh as we are, is no longer bound by time and space, but is now present everywhere. In each of us and in our world, there's no place that Christ is not. And that not only is God present with us, but as He did in Jesus, in our sufferings, in our imperfections, He's actually transforming us. That actually our imperfections, our sufferings, are the things that we endure in this life that we would just as soon not, and we don't want to, but even in those things, God is making them new. God is changing us through them. And so we see this closing scene in our gospel this morning of Jesus gathering with His disciples along the shore, breaking the bread. We see Him doing the most intimate of things, of sharing a meal with His friends. And if you notice, with the exception of Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and in the other Gospels, there are other women with her. In John's Gospel, it's just Mary. With the exception of that story, every time the risen Christ appears, He appears to two or three or more. Two or three or more. And so that saying, when two or three are gathered together in My name, there I will be also in the midst of you, is the power of the resurrection in our lives. In just a moment, we will come and we will gather around this table and we will break the bread, remembering what God has done for us in Christ. And the great gift is that we don't come in perfection, but we come chipped and dented and broken and with our anxieties and fears. And we come as Peter, as wanting to love the Lord, truly, sincerely wanting to love the Lord, but knowing that we're not yet loving Him as fully as we can, as fully as we could. And yet bringing that desire to this table, where God will take who we are and what we have and transform it and renew it and change it into that which God will seek for us in our lives. So Jesus asks us and will ask us in just a moment, do you love Me? Do you love Me? Do you love Me? And our response, our answer is yes, Lord, we do, as we come forward and as we break the bread together in the midst of the risen Christ. Alleluia. Amen. Let us stand and say together,